Be'ezer Hashem, today we're going to discuss quite a few topics in Kuf Tzadi Dalev. Kuf Tzadi Vav, we're going to discuss a lot of topics. And there are five different topics. Number one, what we're going to discuss is something we had left off in Sif Beis, and that is the issue of a woman who finds herself doing a Hefzik Tara after Ma'ariv. What's the relationship between Ma'ariv and the Hefzik Tara? That's what comes up in the Ramah. And we didn't do the Ramah on that. That's number one. That'll be a short topic. Number two, we're going to be introduced to the process of Tahara. The process of Tahara of the Shiva Nikim. Exactly what is that process? What's the rationale for that process? That also is a short topic that appears in Sif Gimel. Number three, what we're going to discuss is the requirement of counting. What does it mean? The Torah Kedoshah says v'safrala. So what does it mean that she needs to count? That she needs to count. The requirement of v'safrala, how do we understand that? And number four is going to be the biggest topic, and that is the nature of the required numbers of bedika. How does that work? That's a sugya with the Mishnah on Das Samach Zayin on the base. That's going to be in Halacha Dalet and Hay. And then I didn't give it to you in the outline, but as I was going over the shir, I figured that we could push further ahead. We could get all the way to Sif Yud and discuss the Shitas HaRamah about the first 3 days of the Shiva Nikim. So that, Amir to Hashem, is our five topics. Going out to Seder HaShulchan Aruch. And let's, Seder Hashem, begin. So we left off with the Ramah in Sif Beis, even in Sif Aleph. Let's start with Sif Aleph, where the Ramah says as follows: Yesh Omrim in Hispalu Hakal Arvis Va'oda Yom Gadol Eini Yechol Livdok Oz Lil Bosh Levanim Lahaskel V'Limnos Miyom Macharas Me'achar De Hakal Kvar Osu Oso Laila. So Trumas Hadeshin has a Chumrah, and that is that we know that the Hefzik Tara has to be done prior to the first day. It has to be done prior to the first day of the Shiva Nikim. After Shkia is already a problem, lahalacha. So what happens if the Kehillah make davens early, and for example, they make Shabbos early? So in such an instance, argues the Tumas Hadeshin, that it's too late. One cannot have a Hefzik Tahara. This gets into the Yisod of how you look at Laila, how you look at Tosefa Shabbos, etc., etc. If we had 3 years to learn Hilchos Nida, we would connect this to the broader topic of how to look at Chalos Shem of a day and so on. But for our purposes, the Trumas Hadeshen could be understood in a couple of ways. At the end of the day, for the Kehillah, the day is over, and now they're davening Ma'ariv. So once the day is over and they're davening Ma'ariv, it's too late. The Eishom, some say the Mutter, Afilu also call Shabbos, the Ogur in the name of the Ma'ariv, says that if they've already accepted upon themselves Shabbos, it is acceptable. V'nagin l'chatchila l'izar b'di'evet ein lachar. So l'chatchila, anytime it's an early Shabbos, then one should try to have the Hefzik Tara done prior, or if one's husband is davening Ma'ariv, so then there's an inyan l'chatchila to have the Hefzik Tara done earlier. However, b'di'evet ein lachosh, b'di'evet, if it happens that the kehillah daven ma'ariv, one could be makel. Now, what happens if one's husband davens ma'ariv or the woman davens ma'ariv, but at the end of the day, everybody else is not making Shabbos early, is not davening ma'ariv earlier? So if you take a look in our photocopies, the first page after the Gemara, so we have three pages, and on the fourth page, we have the Shevet HaLevi that points out that this entire discussion is that the Ramah has was at a time where there were homogeneous communities, where the community in general was davening Ma'ariv earlier, and then we have this big Machlokes Rishonim. Is it possible that the community's acceptance of Shabbos early is going to make it the end of the day? And then she can't do her Hefzik Tahara. So the Shevet HaLevi Zatzal says that the Kilos, this is Os Yudalis in the first column of the Shevet HaLevi. The top of it says Shevet Hilchos Nida, then under it says Shevet HaLevi. Uminyan Echad v'kiblu Shabbos Mukdam v'kol ha'yichidim nigru achar atzibur. and all the everybody is nigra achra tzibur. This you have to be careful about when you go to a bungalow colony. If you go to a bungalow colony and there's one shul, and then over there they're mekabel Shabbos early, so then in such an instance, not only is it a question of hefsek tara, it's also a question of hilchos Shabbos as well. It could be that you're not allowed to make your own late Shabbos and go somewhere else to daven Meirut. That's a big shaila. It's not poshut at all. Yes. Go ahead. But then it's for sure different. Then that's not what we're talking.
One shul with one minion.
Okay. That doesn't exist even on an island, right? You know the famous joke that the guy was stranded on the island and he shows him that he built two shuls. So he says, "Why do you need two? There's only one there." He says, "That's the shul that I never go into. That's the shul I never daven in." So there always has to be a minion that you don't daven in. But once upon a time, it wasn't like that. And there was one minion, one shul, and so on. I will clarify among and Avram. Dimyesh kama batei knesios and sheches kol akila achar beis knesses shala. Ulechol velachein dinze kematei neshayich bizmanenu sheyesh harbe batei knesios. The Magen Avraham says, maybe you follow your shul. So if your shul makes Davin's early Meiriv, maybe then in such a case, you know, if that is your shul, so the Magen Avraham raises that possibility. But at the end of the day, says the Shevet HaLevi, today there are many Batei Knesios, people Davin in different shuls. It's very, very hard to find someone who's uniform, that they're always Davin Meiriv early or always Davin Meiriv late. And the whole community follows that same thing. The gam de la halach, and at the end of the day, the Shevi Levi concludes, kaimel and the efshel asef sektara filu espala gam hi, kol zman shu yom. The Shevi Levi assumes that even if she davens ma'ariv, as other poskim allude to, and therefore the halacha is halacha lemaisa v'chatchila, she makes Shabbos early, she should try to do efsek tahara. If she makes Shabbos early v'chatchila, she should try to do the hefsek tahara early. However, b'diavad, the halacha would be is that kol yachid nigra acharat tzibur. Now, if there's a shas hadchas, let me just explain. I'm describing lechatchila sheba lechatchila. Lechatchila sheba lechatchila. If she's making a Shabbos early, so in such a case, she should try to do the hefsek tahara early. However, in a case of where it's rushed, so then in such a case, I would prefer that she follow the Shevet HaLevi ad hasof. And if she's in New York, if she's in Bnei Brak, if she's in Beit Shemesh or Beit Vegan or any other place, so then in such a case, where there are many other shuls, if she's going to be rushed in Erev Shabbos, I prefer that she do it both for halachic reasons and emotional reasons. Before we started the shir, we said that halacha l'maisa and hilchos nida is 80% psychology and 20% halacha. For those of you who know Rabbi Bina, he would be upset at me that I would say that I said 20% halacha. He would say everything psychology. So, but at the end of the day, I got it's clear. Yonatan didn't learn in that yeshiva. So at the end of the day, the halacha has to take into account. The halacha has to take into account that phenomenon as well. One should keep in mind that one could follow the Shevet HaLevi in such a manner. L'chatchila, it's best before Ma'ariv. That's the way to do it. So before Ma'ariv is the time to do the Hefsek Tahara. Rabbi Yaakov, you had a question?
Even if she lit candles?
What's that?
Even if she lit candles.
Bidiyavad, if she lit candles, that would be acceptable as well. Yes, Rabbi Yonatan.
The Shevet HaLevi, if the way the Rebbe is reading it, it doesn't add anything to the conversation, because the Ramas is b'diavad you can check afterwards, the Shachas you can check afterwards, pretty much everybody says,
no, the question.
B'diavad you can check afterwards.
Rabbi Yonatan's upset at me that I'm even saying, l'chatchila, she should do it early before Kabbalah Shabbat.
I'm saying that's what I think. I think the Shevet HaLevi is saying, l'chatchila, b'chol afon, a woman can do that.
Right.
Oh, Rabbi.
Right, I agree.
Rabbi's just being more.
I think that lechatchila she should try to do it before Ma'ariv. But you're right. According to the Shevet HaLevi, it wouldn't. It sounds like that he would hold even lechatchila after she lights candles. But Rabbi Yaakov and I are old-fashioned Polish Yidden. At the end of the day, it's strange for us that she's going to light the candles and that she's going to do a hefsek tahara lechatchila. It would seem to me if everything else is fine, so then she should do the hefsek tahara before she lights the candles. That would, this way, there's no tarta disaster of any way, shape, or form. But, Of course, you have, as we pointed out, the Shevet HaLevi says that really this halacha is not nogea too much today. But if you could follow the Ramah l'chatchilo, Shevet l'chatchilo, why not? In a case where there's lachat, there is something very important to the psychological component, so then in such a case, halacha is going to change. There is a cryptic Ramah over here, as he concludes Sif Aleph, which I'll just give you the shot in the Ramah Be'ezer Hashem, and we'll move on. There's much to say about it, but we'll just go with the, it's not really nafka mina lahalacha, so we'll just read the Ramah. The Ramah adds, U'miksas nashim noagos, and there's some women who have the custom, shim paska kodem barchu, v'chazra liros kesem odam toch yimei sfiroso, oz masikin afil la'achar barchu, im miskalkal asamuch l'erev. The very, very cryptic Ramah. What does the Ramah mean? That they were mixed, that nashim, that they stopped before barchu, and then they saw kesem or dam during the mei sfira, so then they could check it even after barchu. So the Shach raises that the Bach read the Ramah one way, and the Bach rejected the Ramah, and we're going to go with the way the Shach reads it in the Maskana. Let's take a look at the Shach, because without the Shach, it's a little bit hard to know what exactly the Ramah is referring to. So halfway through Sifkat and Hay, the Shach gives us an explanation. Fiani is daiki. Nira de gamla rav, afilum rasa dam samach la'erev, masekes achar baruchu betchilas sfirasa. V'hachi kamar, this is the critical line, v'hachi kamar, this is what the Ramah is saying. Afilu paska kodem baruchu, lo amrin and kivan de paska kodem baruchu, im kein choshiv achar baruchu ledida laila. So let's say the woman decided that she's going to do the hefsek tara before baruchu, okay? And now, wait a second, she sees dam after Baruch Hu. So you might say, she has shown us that Baruch Hu she looks at as being the turning part of Laila. And in such an instance, she can't do the Hefsek Tara after Baruch Hu before Shkia. That's how the Shach explains. Back into the words of Ramah. U'mitzas nashim nogo, shem paska kon Baruch Hu, v'chadru l'ros kesem odam, tochi mei sirasa, oz mafsigin afilu ha'acha Baruch Hu, im niskalkala. If there was a case where in previous instances, she was makbid to do the Hefsek Tara prior to Baruch Hu, which shows that she's knowing Baruch Hu is being Laila, we're not going to be machmir on her in a case of Niskalkala when she had some Re'iyas Dam after Baruch Hu, and now she wants to get a new Hefsek Tara. So to put it in very, very specific terms, in a case in which she did her Hefsek Tara before Baruch Hu, and she thought she was in the clear, then she finds some dam, could she now do the Hefsek Tara as long as it's before nighttime? Says the Ramah, the answer is yes, even though previously we had a Chumrah that said that once it's Baruch Hu, then it's too late. And this woman seemed to be knowing like that Shita, so I might say that here, Bidiyevet, you would be Machmer on her. So says the Ramah, no. In Miskalkla, Samachlev, V'choshim, Dovet, Zavliyev, in Limchos, Miyadam, Ki Ken Kibu, Meizel, Chacham, Shahor, Lehen, it's not a problem to do the check again afterwards. The Bach has a different shot. This is the Ramah. Either way, our minig is to be makel. Okay, we're now up to topic number two. Topic number two is the whole process of the Shivanikim. This is quite important. The process of Shivanikim. By the way, today's shiur, especially starting in these last four topics, 2 through 5, are extremely, extremely important topics. They're not too difficult, but they're also very, very important topics in terms of halacha l'maisa. These, every single one of these topics come up often. They're not difficult sugyas, and this is a great sugya to jump into. Someone didn't get dam hanimtza b'ashtana. Almost all Kitzur's farm books, what do they say? If you have a shayla, ask a rav. So when we become better Rabbanim, we'll get it around the next time. But that's a very, very complicated sugya. But these are Yisoda, Yisodos. This sugya is a very, very important sugya. So let's start out of order. Let's go with the Ramah and Sif Gimel, because the Ramah is going, Minig Ashkenaz is going to be a little bit different than Minig Sfarad as presented in the Shulchan Aruch. U'minig Kasherhu, kisha isha posekes bitahara. And it's an appropriate minig when a woman goes through the process of hefsek tahara, shetirchatz veloveshes levanim, that she should wash herself and also wear white undergarments. Okay, let's stop right there.
What's this? What is this? So Chazal referred to the Yimei Tahara, the Gemara in Shabbos and Yigimel, refers to as Yimei Halibun. And there is a minute kosher that these are the white days. That these are the white days. The white days that a woman is going to have Loveshes Levanim. And the Ramah goes on that she should also wash beforehand. Shatirchatz v'Loveshes Levanim. So this is l'chatchil what she should do. She should wash herself prior to the Shivanikim, and she should put on Levanim. It's a mini kosher. She doesn't have to entirely bathe, but all she has to do is just wash the vaginal area. This is a minig kosher amongst the Ashkenazim, and this is what should be done. Rav Miller Shlita, I was surprised. This is not what I heard from, it wasn't emphasized by my Rabbeim in Yeshiva Rabbeim Yitzchak Elchan, New York, that we have in Shulchan Aruch the phenomenon of having white sedanim, having white sheets. That the Yimei Halibun also she should have white sheets. So my Rabbeim in New York told me that at the end of the day that doesn't apply. That Loveshes Levanim today is white underwear. Why? Because in those times it was common for the woman not to be wearing tight garments that we've discussed previously in some. However, today it's if it's a woman knows that both in the day and in the night she wears levanim, so then in such a case there isn't need for white sheets. However, Miller Shlita says it's a minig. What did he say? A minig that if it's a girl knows that the minig in her family is to have white sheets, that's the minig, and they should continue. Why did Rav Miller say it this way? Because this lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, the lashon of Shulchan Aruch is that v'chein noyagin ve'ein l'shanos, and so therefore the minig is appropriate. Min astam, what my Rebbeim in New York said would be the halacha if a girl didn't know that was her minig from her mother. If there's nothing that we know, so then in such a case it makes sense l'halacha that you don't need to be machmir. Now the Chut Hashani, Reb Nissim Karel Shlita, raises an interesting question over here on the next page in terms of how to understand what the requirement of this halachas of Shivanikim. I like to say sometimes to my second and third year Talmidim in the Gemara Shir that I'm just throwing something out to the Talmidim and you'll advance it with your Talmidim. I'm not going to develop the Nafkaminas, but it is a fascinating question that Reb Nissim Karelitz raises that I'd like you to think about. He starts off quoting the Torah Shlomim in Oz Vav. And the Chakira is the following. Why was it that Chazal were, in Minig Ashkenaz, Chazal here is probably not the right word, why were the Rishonim from the Mordechi and on, why did they introduce this halacha of Tirchas V'Tilbash Levanim? What's the nature of that chiyuv? So look at the words of the Torah Shlomim. The Torah Shlomim says that it's based on the idea of what? It's based on the idea of helping her. We want to help the woman out. What does it mean to help the woman out? He says at the end of the day, what might happen is that there might be a residue of blood. There's going to be a residue of blood and from the period, and that's going to come out during the Shivanikim. Hence, we encouraged her to make herself entirely clean, so no previous ksamim will be found. Get rid of your old begadim, big day nida, put on levanim, that you know for sure you're clean, wash yourself, and so the takana, ein l'shanos, was not a takana to get the woman in trouble, but rather the takana of Ein L'shanos was to help her out. Take a look at the Torah Shlomim, Oz Vav. Hatam b'chol zeh du ulai nislach le'chufo chaluka be'ezekesem v'timtza b'toch ha'shiv nekiyim. It was there, Oz Vav, in the Torah Shlomim. It was there because we were concerned that there's some residue of blood. The Ozein tolin kimavur b'sa'omach sif yudalit. But there are times we're not going to be able to be told them. Topic number 5 for today is that during the first 3 days, we're machmir, very machmir. So therefore he says, Lufi zeh en bidyeved, sofra shamanikim b'lo rechis levisha klal. But bidyeved, in such an instance, v'acharka, bodekes chalukah v'gufal animtza sham kesem muteres litbol. If she didn't do such a thing, she could be Tola because she didn't clean herself. So according to the Torah Shlamim, the whole nature of the Takana is to protect the woman from getting other Ksamim and not fall into the trap of Ksamim. However, Rabbi Nissim Karelitz says on the last paragraph on page Reishon Aleph in the Chut Shani that there's another way to understand this. Halfway through, first word on line is Be'emes. On the last paragraph, six lines from the bottom of the end of the page, Va'amnam Be'emes Ha'yinir Yoser. So Rav Karel suggests a different idea. Shehu Yoser Me'etz Tova. It's more than Eitz Tova. Who Mikivan Sheyesh Ofanim Shem Yimtzu Ksamim Yitzu Osam Yitaru Alkein Chaser Kam Bedina Lachatchila Shel Surat Habirur Shebisfira Valkein Hunag Liizor Ba'anach Dvarim El De'Ein Zema'akev. No, it's another halacha. This halacha is a halacha of Levanim. That part of the Safra law of Shiva Nekiyim is that she needs Shiva Nekiyim. So she has to do everything she can to make sure that it was Nekiyim. She has to do everything she can to make sure that these were Yamim Nekiyim. And then she's fulfilling the Din L'Chatchila of Chazal, which is actually a Din L'Hachmir, not L'Hakel. According to the Torah Shlamim, this idea of Rachsa and Nekiyah was there to get rid of the old Ksamim. According to others, it's that the Hefsek Tara is one part of the process, that she has a din of a chaskas eino roa, that's Aleph, and now there's a requirement that she be in a state of libun to be sure, to assure ourselves that she is going through the appropriate tahalich. So that's a fundamental chakira, how to look at the Shiva Nekiyim. I'd just like to add that the Mechaber doesn't seem to have all the chumras of the Ramah. Siv Gimel, if you take a look in the Lashon of Mechaber, B'yom she'posekes miliros u'bodekes atzma ka'amur, at the time, at the day that she's posekes, tilbash chaluk ha'bodek, lashen bo kesem, notice his Lashon is B'yom, on that day, u'balayla tasim sedinim ha'badukim b'ksamim, u'miyom ha'machras taschil esparshiv v'nikiyim. So there's no explicit mention over here in the Mechaber that the entire period of time requires Levanim. Rather, his requirement is that she needs to put at night Stinim Habdukim Iksamim, and then the next day she starts Shiva Nekiyim. Very different than the Lashon of the Ramah. I did not look into how Sephardic Poskim, whether they formulate the halacha l'maisa differently. What's that?
They don't.
They're makdiv. Like the Mordechai in the name of the Rokech, but the simple reading of the Mechaber is quite different than the Lashon of the Ramah. Aval b'shachat, Chak continues the Ramah, back into the Ramah, kigon isha ha'olechas baderech v'en la begadim, tuchalis v'shem nekiyim, rak she'achaluk naki u'baduk midam. B'di'evet, if a woman doesn't have white undergarment, so then one should not chas v'chalila say that she's stuck. At the end of the day, she is not stuck, but rather she should do her best to check her undergarment that doesn't have nekiyim. It should be a chaluk naki, ubaduk, and then she begins the process of the bedikas that we're about to discuss. Now, in Kuf Sadivav, we've already discussed the hefsek tahara and the moch dachuk. One part of the Hefsek Tahara that we did not discuss, that Miller Shlita raised, is this phenomenon that comes up in the Se'if, and that is the Rechitza, that we saw, Shetirchatz Viloveshes Levonim. So in the next page, we quote over here in front of us, Ramesha Feinstein Shita, which appears in Chelek Beis Simen Ayin Aleph. Here I just quoted for you the summary in the Sefer Marikoin on page Mem Dalit, that Ramesha was of the following opinion, that even though the Ramah says Shetirchat Viloveshes Levanim, even though he says that there should be Rechitza and then put on white clothing, nevertheless, this requirement of Shetirchat Viloveshes Levanim has a caveat to it. And that is that she can't wash right away and then do her Hefsek Tahara, because maybe she's really not clean. But it takes a while from the blood to come from the uterus out. So she might still be bleeding all the way inside. She might still be bleeding. So if she's going to do a rechitza, and then immediately right after do her hefsek tahara, so then in such a case, there is a problem. So it's a catch-22. According to Rav Meisha, the issue of rechitza, which is a chumrah of the Ramah, he says, you have to be done in the following way. You need to wait 15 minutes. In other words, she's supposed to do a rechitza, but she needs to wait 15 minutes for her hefsek tahara. Not everybody accepts this. Not everybody accepts this. Some say no. Misvara, as long as she gets a clear hefsek tahara, that's going to be enough. Vameivin yavin, it might be tolui in the Torah Shlomim and the Chut Shani. That's what I give my Talmidim, I pass the bull Talmidim to be mefalpel, whether it's telling that. But now we're learning lahalacha, and lahalacha, what emerges is as follows. Ramesha said 15 minutes. Not everybody holds that way. The Mari Kohen himself, Rav Miller has pointed out that if you use the Mari Kohen as a benchmark, not for lahakel, but use it as a sense of what where the poskim are talking, or to put it in other crude terms, if the Mari Kohen has a tzad lahakel, so then a rav could has cover. This sefer has become very popular. We're not meshubit to it. There are times our rabbeim were much more makel than the sefer Mari Kohen. But at the end of the day, it's definitely a benchmark, and that's how it seems to me how Rav Miller Shlita uses the sefer. And that is, he says that there were those who say a quarter of an hour and b'shas hadchak 5 minutes. And that's how he quotes Rav Yoshev. Rav Yoshev l'chatkili was choshish for a Maisha for 15 minutes between the two. B'dievet 5 minutes would be acceptable. It seems to me that there would be poskim that would be makel b'shas hadchak even if she washed and checked right away. For example, the Mari Kohen alludes to, you can't go after Shkia. So what happens if it's close to Shkia? So then in such a case, Rav Vosner points out that it's only a hidur lechatchila. If it's close to Shkia, so then in such a case, Rav Vosner says that you could do both the rechitza and the bedika. This is not a psak that I saw in the Shevet Alevi, but it's quoted in the Mari Kohen. You could have suggested a different approach. You could have suggested, don't do a rechitza at all. But it seems the Shevet Alevi goes with the Ramah ad hasof, and he would take an approach that at the end of the day, Ramesh is a chumra ba'alma, the mi'ikr d'dina, would be acceptable to simply wash and then do a bedika right away. But this is the shita of the Ramah, and the basic talich of the Shiva Nikim. It seems to me that the Mechaber's talich is quite different than the Ramah. Again, to summarize, we have two havanas of why the Ramah wants it this way, either to help her or to a way of being mevarer that it's 100% naki, two different ways of looking at it. And finally, the rechitza, according to Ramesh, actually creates a problem, and therefore there should be a gap of 15 minutes. Yeah?
Can the rechitza be, since there's a chomer b'alma, can't the rechitza just be afterwards? Better do the bedika.
So it's interesting, the way the Mari Kohen quotes it, yes, I would have expected Rav Vosner to say that bidyev is close to shkia, forget about the rechitza altogether. But the way the Mari Kohen quotes
it, do it after. Do it after. Okay.
Yeah, you could do the rechitza afterwards. The Torah, the Torah.
But
there's
chumrah.
There must be playing.
What after? You have
right. Noah is making gishmak adiyuk. Noah has a gishmak adiyuk. The Ramah says, "Umine kasher kisha isha poseket b'tara shetirchat veloveshes levanim." So the question is, how do you read the order of the word? He says, "Shetirchat veloveshes levanim." So that's a question. So he's suggesting maybe even according to the Ramah, he never meant to do the rechitza prior to hefsek tahara. That's not the way most contemporary folks can understand the Ramah, but that's an interesting point. Rabotai, now we get to the big sugya. The big sugya, and this is a big sugya halacha l'maisa. Big sugya. Just this week, I got a heavy question like that was connected to this sugya. If this comes up, and you have to be on your toes for this sugya, and that is the whole nature of the requirement of Shiva Nikim. When does Shiva Nikim have to be done? What's lechatchila? What's bidyevet? And there are two subcategories to the requirements of the dika. Actually, I said I put the safrila number three, so we're going to go back to that. I already said we're going to go to the requirements of the dika, so we'll do that first. Number four, that's actually how Rav Miller did it. He did number four before number three. And then we'll talk about the nature of a safrila. Okay. This brings us back to the way I enjoy learning with you, and that is to make sure that we have the Mishnah and Gemara. When we're talking about such a Yisodic Sugya, we should know the Mishnah and Gemara, and then Be'ezer Hashem, be Masik Shmeis, leave the Hilchos. So the Mishnah tells us on Samaches, on the Beis, you have these photocopies, three different opinions of Tanoim about the nature of Bedikas Shivanikiyah. What exactly is important in terms of the Bedika? So here we have Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Akiva. Three different shitas. Zok the Heilige Mishnah. Hazav Hazava Shabbatku Asman B'yom Rishon, U'matzatar, U'bayom Hashvi Matzatar, U'shar Yom Shebeinu Taim Lo Batku. So here we have a timeline which we're going to use in many instances. We have a timeline of the Shiva Nikim, and what happened was on day 1 and day 7 she did a bedika, but she didn't do a bedika in any of those other days. So here are the three shitas. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Harein B'cheskes Tahara. Rabbi Eliezer says fine. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Ein Lamel Yom Rishon V'Yom Shvi'i Bilvad. Rabbi Yeshua says, okay, you got 2 days, but that's all. Rabbi Akiva Omer Ein Lamel Yom Shvi'i Bilvad. Rabbi Akiva is choshesh that you don't even have this, because how do you know during this period of time there wasn't a rikia? So these are the three shitas, and how are we going to paskin? We are going to paskin according to the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, if you do 1 and 7, that's fine. Now, in many ways, halacha lemaisa, if the world was simple, and there's a part of the world that is simple, on a certain level, halacha lemaisa, that's enough. And that is that mi'ikr d'dinu, when it comes to a zava, then the requirement is that you need 1 and 7. If you have 1 and 7, then that's going to be acceptable. However, the question is, what happens if she doesn't have 1 or 7? So here we have a shaila in the Gemara on the bottom of Samech Chesamavei. So again, I want to emphasize, halacha l'maaseh is how we paskin. B'di'eved, if a woman has day 1 and day 7, l'kulei alma, according to all the Rishonim, notice, by the way, it's the minority opinion amongst the Tanoim, but we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, and the halacha is that 1 and 7 is going to be enough. What happens if she misses one of those days? So says the Gemara in the bottom of Samech Chesamavei, 2 lines from the bottom. Iboilu hazav v'hazava shebotka atzmon yom rishon v'yom shmini. Ah, here we got something else. Here she missed the 7th day. So now the Torah Akdosha says v'sofra lo shiva yomim, shivas yomim. She counts 7 days. She counts 7 days. Does she have 7 days over here? No, she hasn't counted 7 days. She's counted 8 days. Is that a problem or not? Iboilu azav azav shabbat gatz yom rishon v'yom shmini matzatar ushar yomim lo batku li Rabbi Eliezer top of samech chesam and alf mahu tchilasan v'selfon beinon v'hachet tchilasan ikar selfon lecha. Do you need both bookends? Odil tchilasan apagav shein selfon. For sure, number 8 is not going to work, because the Torah says you got to count 7 clean days. But now, once I know the first day was clean, so could I presume that all the other days were clean? Odilma tchilas anafo gav shein selfon. Amar Rav, he tchilas anafo bi shein selfon. Rabbi Chanina amar tchilas anafo selfon ba'inon. So it's a machlokus between Rav and Rabbi Chanina within Rabbi Eliezer. Anybody want me to write down the board? I think this is pretty straightforward, but if somebody wants me to write it, I be my pleasure. So this is the machlokus between Rav and Rabbi Chanina, with as far as the machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the other Tanoim. Again, I'll say it outside. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that all you need is the 1st and the 7th for a zava. The question is, when he's disagreeing with those Tanaim who say that you do the 1st and the 7th, you don't have a full Shiva Nikim, is he saying that you need both the 1st and the 7th? Do you need both? And if you don't have it, you lost? That's the opinion of Rabbi Chanina. Or is he saying that the 1st and the 7th would be enough in contrast to the other Tanaim who say it's not enough, but if you did one, that would be acceptable as well to be considered Shimon Nikiyim, even if you don't have the Ikh. This is the Machlokis Amoraim. How do we pass him? So let's go straight away into Shulchan Aruch, and we will work backwards into the Rishonim. Says the Mechaber, B'chol Yoim, Mishiva Simei Sfira, Tzri Echolios Bodeket L'chatchila, Pamayim B'chol Yom. Where does this come from? We're going to get to later on, of course. Acha Shachris V'acha Samach L'Bein HaShemashos. She has to check twice a day, one in the morning and one Bein HaShemashos. The Rishonim, this is not what I told the Avrichim in Seder, so I just want to clarify. The Rishonim spell out that L'chatchila, if she's going to end up checking once during a day for whatever reason, L'chatchila should be done. It's reason Makdim L'mitzvos earlier in the day. L'chatchila should be done earlier in the day. And that's this idea of Bidika Shachrit. We'll discuss where the two comes from shortly. Vim lo batka b'chol ha-shiva ela pam achat lo shna batka b'yom rishon shol ha-shiva o b'yom ha-shvi o b'echor ha-mitzayim me'achar shebatka b'yom shekodem ha-shua u'masa tahora alula. Once she does this Bidika in once during the 7 days, this is going to be acceptable. Of course, this is the Psak of Rav. The Baragola summarizes beautifully that the Rosh and the Rajba in the Torah Sabayis paskin this way directly. They paskin that the halacha is, as long as you do one bedika in such a case, that is going to be acceptable. Avolim lo batka b'chol ha-shiva, continuing the Mechaber, if she doesn't do the bedika all 7 days, it will be yom ha-shmini batka masa Torah, ein la el yom shmini milvad, then all she has is the 8th day, and she has to start all over again. She has to count from day 8 to day number 15. However, there is a dissenting view. The Yesh Amrim, this is the Shita of the Smag, and the Ramban and Rabbeinu Simcha are choshish for this as well. The Yesh Amrim, Shetzarach Shetivdok B'yom Rishon Mehashiva U'Bayom Hashvi'i Ve'ein Lahakel. So they're choshesh for Rabbi Chanina. So basically, it's a straight-up machlokis rishonim that starts from the Gemara itself. Is 1 and 7 critical, or just one? What would be the chakira? It would be a very simple chakira. Do you need to create bookends of the Shivas Yamim? Do you need to create the bookends of Shivas Yamim? Or a hefsek tahara combined with an awareness that at one point there was Shiva Nikiyim, then that's going to be enough, and nothing more is necessary. That's the fundamental chakira, the fundamental question amongst the Amoraim. Tov. The Avreichim were mefalpel in halacha l'maisa. And that is, what does the Mechaber mean, ve'ein lahakel? What does the Mechaber mean, ein lahakel? Does the Mechaber mean ein lahakel, that in chassan classes we should always teach that you need to do a bedika 1 and 7, and even if you miss one day, don't forget to do the 7th day? In other words, l'chatkila, we saw the Mechaber said twice a day, all 7 days, 14 bedikas. Bidiyavad, we're saying that just because you missed a day, don't forget that 1 in 7 is the Shita of the Smag, and it's Rabbi Chanina, we're choshish for that Shita, ve'ein lahakel. Or does the Mechaber mean something else? Does the Mechaber mean ve'ein lahakel, that if she missed the first day, then she now starts her Sheva Nikiyim from the second day? Rabotai, here's the Shaila. Now we're going to put the Shaila on the board. Let's say you have an instance where she did not do her bedik on her first day. She did a hefsek tahara, that was fine. The hefsek tahara was great. But she didn't do the first of the bedika. And then she did a bedik on day number 2. So what did we say? Is that enough? Ein lahakel. Ein lahakel. The shaila over here is, and this week I got a call about this. The shaila over here is,
does she need to wait till the 8th day? And she can't go to the mitzvah until the 9th or the 8th, so that thereby you have 1 and 7. This doesn't count as day number 1. Day number 2 is going to be day number 1. Day number 8 is going to be day number 7. We could say at the end of the day, the Mechaber mentioned that all you need is one Bedikah. This is a suffix that the Avreichim had of how to read the Mechaber. I thought it was a good suffix, but it's Mefurish in the Beis Yosef. Let's take a look back in the Beis Yosef. Not black on white mamish, but I think it's quite clear how the Mechaber learns. And this is one of the cases. This is a raya. The Chacham Avadia follows the Mechaber. Bein lekula, bein lechumra. Here's the case where, and Chacham Avadia says, well, b'das haMechaber. It's hard to be makel in this case. It's hard to be makel. And ve'ein lahakel, b'pashtus, in the simple reading of the Mechaber is saying that if she missed the first day of her Shiva Nekiyim, and she does only B'dika on her second day, then the seventh is not going to be enough. She's going to need to do a bedika on the 8th as well and only go to the mikveh then. Let's take a look and see in the Mechaber, in the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yonatan, with pleasure I'll take your ha'ara shortly. Let's take a look at the Beis Yosef. Siv Dalid, right? We're in Siv Dalid. The Beis Yosef concludes at Dibur HaMaskil Kosova Ogur, towards the end of Dalid, right before Vav. He says that there are dissenting views. Vagos Maimini, B'shem Ramban, B'shem Rabbeinu Simcha, Kosov, Kedivrei Atzmat, V'kivon de Kol Hani Rebusa Misafkeluhu, Ein Lahakel B'dover Shu Safek Isser Kareis. Says you can't be makel on something that is a Safek Isser Kareis. So it seemed to me that if the Beis Yosef is saying Ein Lahakel B'dover Shu Safek Isser Kareis, that what he's saying is that you can't be makel even in a case of what? Even in a case of bidyeved. And therefore he would say that if all things are equal, then in such an instance she's going to need to do a bidika on the 8th day, and she cannot rely on a bidika on the 7th day, and she cannot go to mikvah the night after the 7th. She'll have to go the night after the 8th in such an instance. This is what Chacham Avadia Zatzal this is how we learn. In our photocopy we have it after the Badei HaShulchan. You have two pages from the Taras HaBayis. The first is written on top Taras HaBayis. The first one is a few pages before Shin Yud Beis, maybe it's about Shin Ches or so, where Chacham Avadia makes this point. He quotes from Maran Beis Yosef, quotes what he writes in the Shulchan Aruch. And then about 8 lines into the paragraph, first one line is Ma'acher, first one line is Shetivdok. He writes as follows. It's about 10 lines from the top, on the right column, under where it says Taras HaBayis in handwritten. Umavur, Shemarana Shulchan Aruch Posek Lahachmir, Kamosha Kosta Beis Yosef, Vikan Lo Shayich HaKlal. This might have been one of the Avrichim's Ha'ara. Maybe you should say Stam V'yesh Omrim. So here again, like last time, Chacham Avadia as well. V'kan lo shayich haklal, stam v'yesh omrim, shaloch gistam. Me'achar she'echriya le'besov she'ein lahakel. If he says, ein lahakel, then you don't have the rule of stam v'yesh omrim. It's ve'ein lahakel, and therefore, in such an instance, if Bidi Evan, she counted this manner, missing the first day, then she now has to wait for the 8th, according to the opinion of Ein Lahakel. Chacham Avadia Zatzal, who said Chacham Avadia didn't do lamdus? He then goes on to a lot of lamdus. He says, but wait a second, why should that be so? Because he says the Hefsek Tara gives her a Chaloshem Tahora. So maybe it's not a Shaila V'Dorais anymore, it's only a Shaila V'Dorabana. So then there's a Machlokas Divina, and there's a lot of room to be makel. So Chacham Avadia begins to be Mefalta. How does the Hefsek Tara work? How does Shiva Nekiyim work? How does the Rishon V'Shvi work? V'chulei V'chulei. There's a lot of what we even would call classic lamdus, just in Chacham Avadia's way of expressing it, but there's a lot there, and he concludes the Chumrah. He said on page Shin Yud Ches, a
On Shin Yud, he concludes the Chumrah on Shin Yud Beis. However, he has one sad that there might be room to be Mekel, which we'll get to shortly. I'll get to that Beis Hashem shortly. But this is the basic halacha. Rav Miller, this is how he came out as well in his Shiurim, and this does come up. Rav Miller did say b'makom tzorech, like from cases of Shalom Bayis and so on, if there was a makom tzorech gadol, there might be room to be Mekel like the first day, keeping in mind that the majority of Rishonim follow the opinion of Rav, that most follow the opinion of Rav. So b'makom tzorech gadol ad ma'od, Rav Miller thought that one could be Mekel. This is not the formulation of the Badei HaShulchan. If you take a look at the Badei HaShulchan prior to Chacham Avadya's Psak, that's the page beforehand, it says Dalet Shin on the top. The Badei HaShulchan appears in Sifkatan Pei Aleph. The only kula he gives is a kula in Sifkatan Pei Aleph, which is based on the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer could be found in the Pischei Tshuva. In the Pischei Tshuva, Sifkatan Zayin, Ubayom Ashvi Ve'im Lahakel, Ve'ayim B'tshuvas Chassam Sofer, Simen Kuf Ayin Ches, Pischei Tshuva Sifkatan Zayin, De'bidi'evet Shekvar Lonta Eitzel Baila Yesh Lahakel. The only case that the Chassam Sofer is Mekel on is if she was already with her husband. In other words, she has to A, have gone to mikvah, B, she already had relations with her husband, then we're not going to be motzi las, because there are Rishonim and Mekel. But up until that point, it seems that the Chassam Sofer is machmer. And that's the Stimas Badei HaShulchan, that's how the Badei HaShulchan learns in Sifkat and Pei Aleph. There's no opening in the Badei HaShulchan that Rav Miller gave me today. The Badei HaShulchan didn't give that opening, that in case of Makom Tzorech and so on and so forth. The only opening he gives is Kvar Lonta Eitzel Baila, and outside of that, Heter El Chassam Sofer, it's a Ve'im L'Hakel. It's a Ve'im L'Hakel. There is one sad to be Mekel, and that is, what happens if she had a Moch Tochuk inside of her during Bein Hashmasha? In other words, within the Mechaber, who says Ein Lahakel, so if she missed the first day, what would we say as far as if she had a Mochtachuk inside, could that take the place of her Bedika? Now, I see some of the Avrechim are smiling at each other, because that was something that we were discussing last week, that a Mochtachuk doesn't go very deep inside. And the requirement, L'chura, is that the Bedika has to be done B'churim u'bistakim. So, Chacham Avadya raises the possibility that there are some who are Mekel in such an instance. That's what I have photocopied for you in Shun Yubayz. After he comes out the Chumrah, then he says, V'nira, She'im ifsika betar idei nesinas mochtochuk, kol meshach zman bein hashmashos ad acher knises halayla, nechshav lo kebedika biyom rishon. That it would be considered enough of a bedika, and that would work. Now that's quite a chiddush, because at the end of the day, what do we say that you need? What you need is Sfiras Shivanikiyim, and that Sfiras Shivanikiyim has to be Biyom. We're going to have that later on, that the Bedika has to be Biyom. So to say that that serves as a Bedika is a tremendous chiddush. Tosis and Daf Samach Tes and Al says that it has to be done Biyom, and that's how we hold the Chachila. But Bidiyevit Chacham Avadis Mitzdaris this with Od Shitas, that one could be Mekel, to say that that qualifies as the Bedikas Yom Rishon. Which brings me to the next issue that Rabbi Akiva Eger raises. Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that at the end of the day, it's not Pashut that you even need Bedika Bechurim Ubistakim. In other words, what I would like to point out over here now is that there's going to be two issues that Rabbi Akiva Eger is going to raise. One of them is that Chacham Avadya, Rabbi Akiva Eger doesn't raise Chacham Avadya, but Chacham Avadya is assuming that a Moch Tochuk is going to work. Didn't we learn that Bedika has to be Bechurim Ubistakim? So that is a big Machlokas Rishon. And Rabbi Akiva Eger himself even though the majority of Rishonim say that the bedikah has to be done b'churim u'b'stakim, that appears on our daf in Shulchan Aruch. Let me just show you in Shulchan Aruch where it finally appears, because we've made reference to it a few times. In Siv Vav, the Mechaber says, Kol bedikos elu, bein bedikos hefsektar, bein bedikos kol shiva, sriach aliyot beg pishon, lovan yashon, betzem, veh, v'tachnisenu also the makom omek u'l'churim u'b'stakim. So it has to be put l'churim u'b'stakim. So this would be an objection to Chacham Avadia, that at the end of the day, how can you use the Moftachuk as a in place of a Bedika? Maybe, nu, the Halacha B'yom, okay, that's a sheet of the Bali Tosfos. But here we're being kosher for a sheet of the Chumra, so then in such a case, B'layla B'dievet will be Mekel, because it's gone into the first day, then we could be Mekel. But it doesn't even qualify, it's a garnish mit a garnish, it's nothing. So I was thrilled to see that Rabbi Akiva Eger in Siman Samach outlines the shitas that are already brought in the Beis Yosef, that the Ravid is actually of the opinion that Labaila you don't need Bedika Bechurim uvistakim, only Letaharos you need Bedika Bechurim uvistakim, and the Rishonim go ballistic on him. The Rajba and many others reject the Ravid. And Rabbi Akiva Eger goes on to defend the position of the Ravid, to use it as a tzirif Lahakel, as a tzirif lahakel. So it should be noted that even though the psak in Shulchan Aruch is that bechurim u'bestakim is what's required, b'dieved there are times that we would rely on a mochtachuk and that would be enough. So Rabbi Yaakov, we finally have that maramokum that you were looking for, that a tzad to be mekel, b'bshat hadchak ma'od. Obviously this requires she'elas rav, that requires a tremendous amount of shoulders, like I alluded to last week. But there is a sheet that's harayvid, that's black and white. It's quoted in the Beis Yosef by us, in Kuf Tzadi Vav Vav, that says that Bechurim u'bestakim is not ma'akev, and the Gemara was only ma'akev l'bayla, ayin sham, v'yesh l'falkel. And this is what the first step of what I wanted to show you from Rabbi Akiva Eger. Now, within topic of how many bedikos are required, we have the chumra of the mechaber, which is another chumra of the smat. And this is a chumra that has created a lot of consternation and a lot of diyunim within the halachic world today. It's well known that many of our great rabbeim in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan point out that this formulation of the mechaber is a tremendous chiddush lahalacha. First discussion that we've had, just to summarize, is do you need the bedika, one bedika of the Shiva Nikim, or do you need bookends? And we saw different shi'as tanoim, amoraim, questions lahalacha, v'chulei, whether moftachu could work, etc., etc. The other question is the first few words of the mechaber here in Siv Dalet. And that is that the mechaber said, b'chol yom m'shiva simei ha'sfira, that she needs to check twice every day. Where in the world did this pamayim b'chol yom come from? Where does this twice a day come from? So, if you look in the Beis Yosef, of course, Kedarko B'Kodesh gives us everything. The Beis Yosef in Siv Dalet says that this is the opinion of the Smag. The Monei HaMitzvos, as one of the Talmidim said very well, the Monei HaMitzvos all mention Shepodekes Pamayim B'chol Yom. However, all the Rishonim that are quoted in the Beis Yosef, the Rabban, Rajba, Rosh, etc., all say that the Bedika is one day. So let me jump to Halacha L'Maisa V'Tzorech very, very quickly. And that is, I want to jump to Halacha L'Maisa and then we'll go back to analysis of the Shitas HaRishonim. In practice, any time that you encounter a woman who's having difficulty getting clean Shiva Nikiyim, the first thing to go is twice a day. Why? Because Ruba de Ruba Rishonim holds that's really once a day. And actually we're going to get into a little bit of trouble finding what exactly is the makar for the Monei HaMitzvos, what exactly is their makar, and therefore what you do is you go Aleph to once a day. Number two, what's the next thing that goes? If she still has difficulty, or if you sense that she's going to have difficulty, then what goes is days 2 through 6. However, Rav Miller Shlita pointed out that smart Rabbanim don't say 1 and 7, even though mi'ikur d'din, that's going to be fine, right? 1 and 7 is the most chomer position. Rav Miller pointed out that smart rabbanim say 1, 2, and 7. Can anybody figure out why? Yeah?
In case she forgets 1?
In case she forgets 8. 7, excuse me. In the case that she forgets 7, so then what's going to happen is, right, that's going to happen. So she's going to call it the night of mikvah, and let's say she forgot 7. If she did only a bedika, you know, we'll go from case to case. If she did a bedika on 1, right, the halacha is you can't have more than 6 days in between. You need 1 and 7. Or you could do 2 and 8. But the moment it missed, she missed 7, so then you know what's going to happen now? Now she's got to start all over again. However, if the Rav suggested to her to do both 1 and 2, so she calls the Rav up on the mikvah lady after, maybe, or she and her husband realize that in such a case that they did what? That they missed the 7th. But if she did the 2nd, no problem, now do the 8th. So Miller said a smart Rav won't follow the Shulchan Aruch. He didn't say it this way, I'm saying it out. He won't follow the Shulchan Aruch. He won't say 1 and 7, but rather what will he say? 1, 2 and 7. And that is that she forgets the 7th, then she'll be able to go on the 8th. That's an important idea to know in very practical terms. So that's the way to go. So number one is we would get rid of twice a day. If I'm not mistaken, our great Rebbe, Rav Willig Shlita, I think teaches that even lechatchila to do one bedika a day. I think it's in his notes in Rav Sabalovsky Sefer. Rabbi Willig explains that once upon a time women were less rushed than they are today. And yes, there is a real concern that the more bedika she does, the more likely she is to have to get a scratch. And this is a good case where you got to know the sugya. You can't just learn the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch one says twice a day. Actually, Tzarech Iyun, where did the Shulchan Aruch get it from? Where did the Shulchan Aruch get from? I saw there's some questions before we go on.
Yeah. The beginning when Rebbe introduced the question, when we started the last topic, was that the Shiloh Rebbe got was she checked 1 and 8.
Forget about my Shiloh.
I'm saying
it happens often.
She missed day one. If she misses day one, she has to, even if she checks day 7, she has to start all over again.
No. She missed day one, she remembered day 2.
But then she checked on day 8.
Yeah.
Okay, but other than that, Rebbe would agree. If she checks like day 1 and day 8, then she has to start from day 1 a little
correct.
Bit.
Okay, correct.
Fine. That's
correct.
What I was
yes. Say. Okay, now. Yes, Avram.
The 8th of Rabbi Miller, that's from one situation. Wouldn't we say at least do once a day for a 7th?
Yeah, no, we were talking about a case of where a woman is likely to stain. So then, this happens. That for whatever reason a woman has a likelihood to stain, so then we will tell her to do the bedika only one bedika on the 1st and one bedika on the 7th. That's not something we go to right away. In general, when I sense that there's a woman who's having that difficulty, first thing I'll say is do one bedika a day. If she comes back with another shayla and there's a history already, then I would say to do bedika 1 and 7. That's the talich. We wouldn't jump to 1 and 7 right away. Absolutely, that's not following the Mi'ikur Dedina. Mi'ikur Dedina is that there's a bedika every day of the Shemini. Two bedikas every day of the Shemini. And the question is, where did that come from? Yeah?
Just to clarify, what was Rabbi holding with the Rav Avadia,
The Mokum Tzorach, I think there's a lot of room to make. Oh, it's a Kavachomer. Rav Miller was saying that the Mokum Tzorach, there's room to follow the Mi'ikur Dedina, so then Mokum Tzorach, there's room to follow Chacham Avadia, even though it's quite a chiddush. There are a few things Chacham Avadia is assuming. Number one, that a moch dachuk b'shas hadchak could serve as a bedika. Number two, that it could work at night. But tefayim gedolim. Okay. So that's that. Oh, so what about, what's the makar? That's where we're up to. What's the makar as far as two? So, Rabbi Kiva Eger surmises that the Makar is a Mishnah. This Mishnah I photocopied for you in the past. Of course, every Mishnah and Gemara we all know by heart, so I didn't photocopy it for you again. But on Daf Yud Aleph, where the Gemara says that every woman does a Bedika Pamayim. What's the Mishnah say on Daf Yud Aleph? The Mishnah says on Daf Yud Aleph, It's borur that this is a makar. The makar is that it's a Mishnah. That woman checks woman checks twice a day. So this would probably be the makar for the Monei Mitzvahs. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that this is quite a chidush. If you take a look at the next page of Rabbi Akiva Eger, he says, and this gives us a petach. This is, in other words, you know, it's one thing if Rabbi Willig says, well, the Ramban, the Raz, were all Mako. It's another thing when Rabbi Akiva Eger himself in Halacha L'Maisa Tshuva says, I don't really understand it. Once Rabbi Akiva Eger says, I don't understand it, that's going to have a little bit more teeth. Let's take a look in Kuf Mem Ches. At the end of the paragraph, this is right after Chacham Avadia's Taras Abayis, so Kuf Mem Ches on the first paragraph, he says, V'adimyon Shehevi Abach. The Bach quotes this Mishnah as well. V'ayid Perek Kama Denida Hu Tamua. The Hatsam, over there, Amrinon Shachris Kedela Tara Tara Shalaiva. Over there, it's clear from the Gemara that the reason why we do a bedika both in the morning and at night is because what happens if a woman bleeds? So she how much of the food in her house is now not kosher? What do I mean not kosher? Now tameh. So in those days, we wanted the woman to check twice a day for taharas. However, labayla, and we've had this discussion over and over in the Rishonim, that labayla, we've seen that there is a lot of more room to be makel. I'm not going to repeat the Rabbeinu Hananel and other Shittas Rishonim that we discussed, whether the machmir labayla or not. But Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that this is a strong rationale to be makel. I thought we were getting five topics today, but maybe we'll satisfy ourselves, Be'ezer Hashem, with four. So our last topic is the topic of what does the Torah Kedosha mean? V'safra la, that she is supposed to count. This is a cheerful topic. Rav Shechter Shlita speaks about this topic a lot. We will just go through the bare bones of it. There's a lot of lamdos that our Rabbein said. Ayin Shem, Rav Shechter has an article about this. And Rav Soloveitchik would speak a lot about the mitzvah of Sfiras Yomim as well. There are two fundamental questions that we need to ask in regards to V'safra La. In other words, in topic number three or four, however you order it, at the end of the day, there are two issues. Number one, the most basic issue is, does a woman have to mamish count? Is it like Sfiras HaOmer? No one would say that you're Mekayim in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer if you have a calendar and you keep track when Shavuot is. L'chura, that's what happens, so most women today do. Most women today keep track of what day they're up to. They never say, today's the first day of my Shiva Nikim, and today's the second day of my Shiva Nikim, and so on and so forth. Question is whether that's right or wrong. So the Pische Tshuva quotes the Shalah, who was Machmir. The Shalah in Sitkot and Dalit says, Yimei HaSfira, HaGoyim HaKadosh Baal HaShalah, Hitzrich Shev Yimei Sfira Sanikia Timne, B'chol Yom V'Teomer Hayom Yom. Like it says, the Safra. However, the Minig Yisrael Kimdumani is not that way. It's not uncommon that young Talmid Chacham who learn the Sugya come home to their wives and they tell them to count Shiva Nikim, and it's never caught on. For whatever reason, it's not. It just seems to me, as I've looked into it more and more, that the Minig Yisrael just never was that way. And it's not because Benot Yisrael are lazy. It's a lot harder to do a Vedika Bechurim U'Bestachim than to say today's the first day of the Shiva Nikim, particularly for a Kala and so on and so forth. So at the end of the day, for whatever reason, the Minig Yisrael has not been to be Machmir for the Shalah, and the Noda Yehuda is quoted as disagreeing, as well as, even more significantly, the Maharam himself, the great Maharam, the Maharam Rutenberg, says that this is different. It's not comparable to Sfiras HaOmer. The problem is that no one really gave us, and this is where our Chachmei HaMesorah have some interesting ideas, no one really has given us the exact reason why. Why it is that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, yet you have a chiyuv to say it out, versus other Sfiras where you don't. And we do have one Maramachom, but the Maramachom in the Rishonim is vague. And that is, if you take a look in the Sidrei Tahara on our Simen, in Kuf Tzadivav, Sif Katan Yudches, Dibra Maskel Vizel Lashon Hara'ah. He quotes the Chinuch, who asks the question, V'mtisha loma chayvunu chazal limnos hashonim sheva, v'ndichsi v'safar t'lecha, v'lo reinu me'olam shim na'azov, yimei atzviras v'lo azov yimei tzvirasa. So it already goes back to the time of the chinuch, that the minig was not to do actual tzvira, and he says it's divrei kabbalah. He says it's tolui b'perish ha'mekubo. This also, Rav Shechter has a shir on what does it mean, b'perish ha'mekubo. It's tolui b'perish ha'mekubo, and the perish ha'mekubo is to what? To say, it's a tradition that we have, that when the Torah tells us Svira ta'omer, it means you got to count. When the Torah says counting Yovel, Bezdin's got to count. When the Torah says Svira when it comes to Zav and Zava, there's no requirement to counting. Why? That is a fascinating mystery. Let you tell me what you think by Monday, and maybe by Monday we could discuss the difference as far as why. But it's a fascinating mystery why it is not that way. The minhag Yisrael is that women don't. I would not be opposed that if a woman would take on herself as a Beli Neder to count every day of the Shiva Nikiyim, to me it's a chumrah that one could even say a machmir tov olav bracha, unless one would say that since it's clear that the chinuch already said that the minhag Yisrael is not to, so then it might be disagreeing with the perish hamakuvo. So that's a fascinating question. But at the end of the day, there is a shalah who did it. I have talmidim who are descendants of the shalah. It would seem to me the descendants of the shalah should follow it because it's a kiyum d'oraisa of the safrala. That it would seem to me that they should follow it. Finally, the last issue is what does it mean that she keeps track of her? She counts. Rephrase it. What does it mean she counts her shiva nikiyim? What that seems to indicate is a woman needs to know that what day of her Shiva Nikiyim she is up to. Hence, we have a chumrah of the Me'il Tzedakah that's quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva in Sifkatan Gimel. He quotes a Me'il Tzedakah that raises the following shaila, and that is, a woman saw a kesem. What does that mean? She was in the middle of her Shiva Nikiyim. On the third day, she found a stain on white underwear. She found the stain on white underwear. When she found the stain on her underwear, what she did was, she thought that she now has to wait five days. And then she could count Shiva Nikiyim because she had bad friends. Bottom line is, don't listen to your friends. Always ask a Shiloh. That's the Yisod. But unfortunately, someone didn't tell her that, and she listened to her friends. And her friend said that you don't start counting Shiva Nikiyim, until 5 days later. So she thought she wasn't in her Shiva Nikiyim. She thought that she's just waiting this out. It was clean. She knows it was clean. Maybe she even kept on wearing white. She knows it was clean. Maybe she even did bedikos to see what was going on. B'chulei. Probably she did. She did a hefsek tara early for b'yom shapaska, and now she started counting her first day of Shiva Nikiyim after day five, and she thinks it's day one. So it was really day 4, 5, 6, however you do the math, she thinks it's day 1, it's really day 6. Says the Mil Tzedakah, tough luck. It's a hard thing to swallow. But at the end of the day, the Mil Tzedakah says we're stuck. Why? Because a woman's got to keep track of her Shiva Nikiyim. She has to know where her Shiva Nikiyim is. And so, yes, you don't have to count. That won't follow the shalah. But at the end of the day, if she thinks that she's up to day 6, and day 1, and she's really up to day 6, if the Rav tells her, no, it's really day 6, she's going to be stuck and she's really up to day 1. This is the chumrah of the Me'il Tzedakah. Rav Ozner is machriya.
Isn't it really not day 1?
Just a second. Rav Ozner is machriya on this Pesachei Tshuva, over here in Kuf Tzad Vav. Rav Ozner is machriya the following kula. He says, as long as the woman doesn't switch her begadim from the Yimei Halibun, you could be Mako. In other words, as long as she doesn't do a Maisa Listar, so then in such a case, you could be Mako. So the Mil Tzedakah, if you look in the case of Mil Tzedakah, she took off her Big Day Levanim, and she put on regular begadim. So then she's no longer in a state of the Safala. However, if she doesn't do a Maisa Listar, it seems, this is how Rav Miller Shlita presented, Rav Ozner's Atzal, he such a case it would be okay. So in most of our instances, it would seem that b'dieved one could be mekel, even though she thought that she was up to a different day. I would add, it's not the pashtus of the words v'safrala. You know, we had an extreme where the shalah said, you got to say today is day number one, you got to say today is day number two, you got to say today is number three. Yeshla ayin. What happens if she said day number three and it's really day number two? According to shalah, yeshla ayin. This is probably one of the reasons why the Minig Yisrael was always never to follow this chumrah. So, I would just add to what Rav Vosner says, that when a woman has a shayla, she should try not to A, perceive herself, and B, not to say, oh, my shivanikim is gone. In other words, we should encourage a woman to say, I have a shayla. In contrast, if she says that my shivanikim is gone, I stopped my shivanikim, I'm going to have to start again. So she said the peh, something that would contradict the day of her shivanikim. So I would encourage, it would probably be the evidence. I would come out, we could be mekel, as long as she didn't do a maisa listar. So then in such a case, it could be mekel. But the chatchila, just in terms of coming back to our other question, that the safra law means that she's supposed to know that today's number one, day's number two. So a woman in such a case should say, I have a shayla. But right now, and this is the way I would formulate it, right now I'm up to day number three. I have a shayla. In her heart of hearts, she's really scared that the rav is going to say it's not good. First of all, a lot of times when she thinks the rav is going to say it's not good, if it's a good rav, he'll say it's good. Many instances. But more than that, at the end of the day, she's up to day number three. She has a cheskat, the lomdos is, she has a cheskat in a roa. She has a chazaka that she's not a roa. She's in her yimei alibun. So she has a shayla. It could be that she'll get bad news and then she'll have to start again. But until she gets the bad news, until it's the final psak, she should perceive and look at herself whether she's someone who tends to see the glass as half full or half empty. At the end of the day, I would encourage every couple to look at themselves as the day, we're up to day number three in the Shivanikim, and now we have a shayla, which sends us off to next Monday, and that is, I said, day number three of the Shivanikim, the first 3 days of the Shivanikim, and the halachas that follow, that emerge from the Ramah. I think what we'll do is already late, we'll stop over here. I'll take questions. Yeah?
Let's say the case of the Me'il Tzedakah is when she thinks she's starting right now day one, and really it's day five, or day six, and we inform her, but let's say she's really on day seven, but she thinks she's on day six, but she only finds out today that she's really on day seven. The Chor, we should knock off her whole count. No, she should have to start day one now. According to just the way Rebbe's presenting it. Which is fine, we're just trying to understand.
Well, I don't understand. But why would you...
Because she's counting wrong.
I don't know how we got a woman who's so close to mikvah all the way back to day one.
Because if she...
She missed middle intermittent days?
No, she got confused. She went
she got confused.
Yeah, she was one, two, like she just counted one twice. So
the Rav Osner says, unless she does a Maisa Listar, we could be Mekel.
Right. So okay. So but if she did...
Bottom line is, it seems like we're Mekel. But it is, the simple reading is the Safra Law, that she's supposed to know what she's up to. And that's what one should try the Chatzilah. Yeah. What's that?
Regarding the Me'il Tzedakah situation, if that would happen nowadays,
yeah,
and a woman on day, I guess it would be day six, since she saw, because she waited five extra days.
Right.
Right, so, and then, you know, she's told that she didn't really have to wait, she was down to day six. She's changing clothes every day.
Okay, well, here the issue was that she stopped wearing white undergarments and she started wearing dark undergarments.
Right, you're saying
that's
a
mitzvah. Right,
that's a mitzvah.
That's right.
It's only really if she finds out that day. As long as you call the rabbi and she didn't change it out of her clothes, she didn't really change it.
Okay, but what happens if she thinks she lost it but she kept on wearing white garments?
So that's what she's saying.
Right, exactly.